Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here this morning. And it's a wonderful morning as always. Every day is a good day in the Lord. Every day is a blessing. Praise the Lord. So what we're going to do today, we are going to sing some songs. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise the Lord. And then we're going to study His Word. I can't think of a better thing to do today. But before we do anything, we need to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee for Thy many wondrous blessings. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here to be with Thee. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here this morning, that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, O God, that Thy power and Thy might would fill this place here this morning. We ask, O God, that Thy Spirit would flow. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right. If you can find your Melodies of Praise hymnal, we're going to start with number 163, I Need Thee Every Hour. So much, not only every hour, but every minute and every second of every day. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 324, I Surrender All. Thank you. Isn't surrender wonderful?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, why don't we sing number 278, I Know Whom I Have Believed It. Tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, and that's a wonderful thing. God is in control. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 182, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's going to be the best day of your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, with that thought in mind, why don't we sing number 195, We Shall See the King. There's a blessed time that's coming soon. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready, should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King, we shall see the King, we shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Praise the Lord. the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, if I could get you to do that for us. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer, thanking you for these tithes, these gifts, and offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purposes, for thy glory, for thy will, for thy kingdom. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used. We ask that thou hast blessed the givers here today, and also bless those who were unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, we're going to pray for Doug again. I know he's not here today, and he has been struggling with some stress and anxiety and some health problems and so forth. So we need to lift that up in prayer. And also, I know the Foss family isn't here today. They're listening online, so I'm sure they'll hear this. And I guess Tori has a sore throat, so we should pray for her too. Praise the Lord. We'll do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before you in prayer on behalf of our dear brother Doug. We ask, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven, now, even right now, and work a miracle in his life. We know, O God, that he has been suffering for a long time now, and we ask, O God, that thou hast touched him from heaven with thy glorious touch, thy healing touch, now, even right now. We ask, O God, that thou hast relieved any stress and anxiety. We ask, O God, that thou hast completely heal any health problems that he has. And we ask, O God, that thou hast give him complete faith in thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also come before you in prayer today on behalf of our dear sister Tori. We ask, O God, that thou hast give her a complete healing touch, that thou hast relieve any pain and any suffering she may be going through. We ask that thou hast bless her mightily and strengthen her in thy will, in thy faith, and in thy power. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, why don't we sing one more before we get started in the Word today? Number 22, just a closer walk with thee. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. My feeble life is o'er. Closer walk with our Savior. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to get started in the Word this morning. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to study the Scriptures. And I was inspired to preach this sermon after reading about many of the numerous recent events in our country. We live in a country right now that seems to be seething with anger, and sometimes that anger is even boiling over. It's spilling over in some cases, and people are very angry about some of the things that are happening. And because of that, the Lord inspired me to preach this message, which I'm going to call Seek Peace and Pursue It. And we're going to be starting in Psalm 34 to begin with, but before I do anything, I want to pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to open thy holy word. We thank thee for this opportunity to study thy scriptures. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst open our hearts to receive what thy word has for us today, what thy spirit, what thy Holy Ghost has for us today. We ask, O God, that what we read would change us for the better and continue to perfect us as we draw nigh unto thee. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand thy word. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, right now in this country, there's a lot of anger. And one of the reasons there's so much anger is because of Obama's recent decision to open the borders by executive decree and essentially offering amnesty to, I think it was something like 5 million illegal aliens in this country. So a lot of people are angry about that. And of course, we know that they're angry down in Ferguson, Missouri, because of a recent grand jury decision to not prosecute an officer named Darren Wilson, who earlier this year shot a black 18-year-old man by the name of, he was shot and killed, and of course, there are a lot of people upset about that. And, we watched it unfold on Monday night. They had the reading of the decision there, they did a live broadcast. We don't have cable TV or anything like that, but it's amazing what you can find on the internet these days, and they had a live broadcast of that, so we watched that. And it wasn't really any surprise, their decision. But people, of course, were very, very upset, and they had live feeds in Ferguson, Missouri after the decision was read, and it was really something. You know, we were able to watch this, and it almost felt like we were right there. There were these angry mobs, and they closed down an exit on the interstate, I-44, and it was really something because there were numerous cars there that were stuck. There were protesters in front of them, and there were protesters behind them. They couldn't move. They couldn't get out. And if you can imagine, that must have been very terrifying for those in the car. Eventually, they were able to get through after the rioters and mobs dispersed there. But it was just a short time later that people started burning down buildings. They were lighting things on fire, and it was really something. Someone actually set up a Facebook page, and they were giving us live alerts, basically, as soon as things were happening, letting us know which buildings were on fire, and they had pictures and everything. It was really something to just sit there and watch that. You know, your mouth kind of drops open. You can't believe it. But there was so much anger there, and you know, they just kept burning down those buildings. One of the first ones they burned down was a Little Caesar's Pizza. And why would you, what did that accomplish, you know? Why would they do that? Well, I'll tell you why they would do that. Because these people who were rioting were filled with devils. That's why people riot like that. They had devils. That's what makes people do that. You know, even if you disagree with the grand jury's decision, what good does it do to go and burn down buildings? It was really something, because my wife and I were just watching this, and we were getting updates pretty much instantly, and then we went and we checked the news, and the news was extremely slow. And we were waiting for them to update their news reports, and we already knew what happened, but it took them a long, long time. And even the next morning, I checked the news, and they said that 10 businesses in Ferguson there had been burned down and destroyed. But actually, I happen to know for a fact that it was at least 15, because we saw pictures and we had updates as it was happening. But there is a lot of rage in this country right now. But what does the Bible tell us to do? It tells us to seek peace and pursue it. And we find that verse in Psalm 34, where we're going to begin right now. Psalm 34, verse 1 tells us, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And that's something we should all be doing, praising our Lord continually. His praise should continually be in our mouth, not just once in a while, not just when good things are happening to us, but continually. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Praise the Lord, and that's one of the wonderful things we can do together when we come here on Sunday morning. We can exalt his name together. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." You know, if you want to be delivered from your fears, you must seek the Lord. That's the only way you're ever going to truly be delivered from your fears. Of course, some people actually like being afraid. They get addicted to it. They kind of get a high off it. That's why, you know, people love those horror movies and so forth. They actually enjoy being afraid. I'm sure they dislike it, and then they like it at the same time. It's kind of an odd thing. But some people enjoy that. But I would rather be free from fear. And I know that the way to be free from fear is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Now David is writing this psalm. Not all of the psalms. Well, I guess I should say he's singing this psalm, because these are really songs. But David wrote this, and he's saying here that the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. And the Lord will do that very same thing for us if we would just have enough faith in him to believe that he would do it. You know, the first key to getting help from the Lord is believing that the Lord is going to help you. If you don't believe that, well, you're probably not going to get that help. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." Did you know that the angels of the Lord are encamped round about us? They watch over us. That's a biblical doctrine. I know it sounds fanciful to some people, but it's the truth. There are angels out there. And we can take comfort in the fact that there are twice as many angels as there are devils. The scriptures do say that a third of the angels left. They became fallen angels or demons. But there are twice as many angels as there are demons out there. So that's a wonderful thing to know as well. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now, what is it talking about there? We see that word fear there. And, you know, it, in the same chapter, it tells us that God delivers us from our fears. But there's two different kinds of fears that we must take into mind here. And it, this type of fear that we need to have for the Lord is a form of respect, where we respect the Lord, high respect, where we respect him more than anything else. We fear him and respect him. That's what it's talking about there.
Amen.
We don't have to be cowering in fear, waiting for God to smite us. You know, sometimes God does smite people. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't do it for fun. And if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've repented of your sins, then you don't need to be cowering in fear, waiting for the Lord to come down and smite you. The Lord is with us. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You know, if you have needs, and most of us probably do, just seek the Lord, and he will answer. He will give you what you need. You know, sometimes we think we need things that we don't need. If we really truly did need them and we sought the Lord and didn't get them, then we must not have gotten them. We must not have actually needed them, because the Lord knows what we need. Some things are wants, and we're not going to get all of our wants, but we will get all of our needs. The Lord will have a way to take care of us, whatever our circumstances may be. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You know, the things we say do matter, and we need to keep our tongue from evil. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And you know, it's interesting, because peace is not a state that comes naturally to man. If you look through the history of all mankind, there's not a lot of times of extended, continuous peace in the lives of humankind. It's been one form of strife after another. And that peace can be elusive. That's why it says here, seek peace and pursue it. Sometimes you have to pursue that peace. You have to seek that peace, because it does not come natural to men and women in this world. It doesn't come natural to the flesh. And there's only one way to find that peace, that true peace. So that's something we're going to be looking at as we continue on in the scriptures. But I'll give you a hint. That peace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. You know, when you cry out to the Lord, he hears you every time. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And you know, when we realize that we're sinners, we have to fall on our faces and we have to cry out to God. Our hearts should be broken when we realize that we've sinned. And when that is truly the case, when we have that contrite spirit, that spirit of repentance, and that spirit of seeking God, he's near. He's not far away. He will be there to comfort you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. But, you know, some people, if they've never repented, they may think they're Christians, but if you haven't repented, if you haven't gone through that with that contrite spirit, seeking God, falling on your knees, falling on your face, seeking his salvation, truly repenting of your sins, if you haven't done that, then you won't be saved. It's a requirement if you want to be saved. It says here, says right here, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And, you know, people might look at that and say, well, there's lots of afflictions in this world. It doesn't seem like the Lord is delivering them. But I tell you what, if it's not in this world, it's in the next. Sometimes we do go through hard things. And sometimes Christian people even lose their lives in this world. But, you know, what we have waiting for in heaven, it'll be worth it all. And nothing will even compare in this world to what we have in heaven. And we're not going to remember all of the bad things that happened here in this world. They will no longer come to mind. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And of course, we know that's referencing there the Lord Jesus, who when he was crucified, ordinarily they would break the legs of the person being crucified, but Jesus died quickly on that cross, so they didn't have to break his bones. Of course, we know that he died on that cross, but he rose again victorious from the grave after 3 days and three nights. Praise the Lord. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous shall be desolate. And they that hate the righteous, rather, shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. All right, well, that is Psalm 34, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. But the point I really want to focus on here is we must seek peace and pursue it. How do we do that? What is our source of peace? How do we have this peace? Why don't we look briefly at Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at a short portion of scripture there. We're going to learn about how we can find that peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 tells us, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. You know what that light is? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is that great light. He is that light. In fact, he told us he is the light of the world. And then if you read the book of Revelation, it tells us that he will be the source of light. When we get to heaven, there won't need to be a sun or a moon because we get light from our Savior. Verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Verse 6 is one of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible. Because verse 6 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is that talking about? Well, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ right there in that verse. And he is so many things to us. He is wonderful. He is our counselor. He is the mighty God, the almighty God. He is the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. And if you want to have peace, you must have the Prince of Peace. You know, the UN, the United Nations, was set up there in New York City. They claim it was to bring about peace in this world, but ever since they came into place, there's been more wars than ever. There's no peace there, and you know why? Because they rejected the Prince of Peace. They don't allow Jesus there at the United Nations. They don't want anything to do with him. And there will never be peace if you reject the Prince of Peace. That's the way it works. So that is where we find our peace. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's not all he is. It tells us here that he is the everlasting Father. What does it tell us in John chapter 14? What did Jesus tell us? I and my Father are one. So Jesus is the Father. And, you know, a lot of people get confused about that, but it says so right here. And John 14 also confirms that if you read that chapter as well. You know, it doesn't have to be confusing. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. And John chapter 14 also tells us that God will send the Comforter. And Jesus said, in my name. And so we know that the Comforter is the Spirit, the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in that chapter, he also said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. You know, a lot of people get confused about that, but they shouldn't, because John chapter 14 is very clear, and it doesn't have to be a mystery. Jesus said, I will come to you, which means he is the Comforter. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, that is the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one God. We shouldn't be confused about that. And Jesus, he came in his Father's name. It was God, very God, robed in flesh when Jesus was here on earth. So that's also confirmed here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Everlasting Father. You know, there can only be one everlasting Father. And there's no ambiguity here what this is talking about. It says, unto us a child is born. And we know that means Jesus. He is that Son that was given. But he is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And you know that peace, it never ends. If you read Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it tells us that the kingdom will never end, the kingdom that Jesus Christ establishes. And if you want peace, you need to be a part of that kingdom. That's how we pursue peace. That's how we seek peace and pursue it, by seeking Jesus.
Amen.
Well, what we're going to do now is go to Romans chapter 12. Which seems to be a very appropriate chapter for many of the things we're dealing with in this day and age. Romans chapter 12. I love this chapter because it starts out by telling us something very, very important. Something that we all need to understand and grasp, and that is that we, as Christians, are called to be non-conformists in this world. Don't just go along with the crowd. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Do what the Bible tells you to do. And the way things are going, the way things are changing in this country, the greater the difference is going to be from what the Scriptures tell us to do and what people are actually doing. But we need to obey God's Word. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, our very bodies, we sacrifice those to God, a living sacrifice. We do his will, we obey his word. And that's a reasonable service. It's not an unreasonable service. God isn't asking too much of us. And he'll never ask us to do something that we're incapable of doing. He's not an unreasonable God. So we can be sure that if the Scriptures tell us to do something, we can do it through the strength of God. Not on our own merit, not for our own strength, but through his strength. But verse 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be transformed. And the only way we can be transformed is if we're not conformed to this world. To be transformed and translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must not be conformed to this world. Don't just do what everybody else is doing. Don't go along with the mobs and the riots and all of that. You know, the people out there, they're doing a lot of horrible things right now. And we should not be a part of that. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we're not to be high-minded. We're not to have high regard for ourselves. We need to realize that none of us are any better than anybody else. Any goodness we have is only by the grace of God anyway. It doesn't come from us. It's not our own merit. It comes from the Lord Jesus. So we shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. See, we are all the body of Christ. We all serve a different duty, a different part of that body in the kingdom of God. We all have a different role to play, but we all have a role to play. You know, some people might walk around and wonder, what can I do? We can all do something. We can all share the word of God with others. We can be a shining light in this world. We can help the poor. There are many things we can do, so many things. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. You know, not all of us are going to be called to be prophets, but there are some. There are true prophets in this world, even today. I know there are a lot of false prophets out there, but if you stop and think about it, if there are false prophets, then there must be true prophets also. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. It tells us right here we need to abhor that which is evil. That means to hate that which is evil, to despise that which is evil. We need to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You know, we should all prefer each other over ourselves. We shouldn't think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We need to realize that none of us are any better than the other. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Well, look at that, patient in tribulation. You know, there are a lot of people out there who don't believe they're going to have to go through any tribulation. They think they're going to be raptured up before the tribulation starts. Well, the tribulation has already started. It's been going on for a while. It just gets worse and intensifies the closer we get to the Savior's return. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And of course, we see here in verse 14 that the Apostle Paul is echoing the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that we find in the book of Matthew. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. There will be persecution. But you know, when people are cruel to you, when they persecute you, when they do mean things, we should pray for them. We should pray for their salvation. We should seek God for them. Ask God to bless them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, that's the main reason I went to this chapter today, because it tells us, we're instructed here, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That should be one of the things that we try so hard to do. Sometimes, you know, people will stir up trouble with us, but we need to be as peaceful as we possibly can in this world. And, you know, there's a lot of angry people in this country, rioting and so forth. But, you know, I realize that a lot of people are upset about that decision down there in Ferguson to not prosecute that officer. And they're angry that Michael Brown was shot and killed. And I can understand that. But I'll tell you what, I don't know for certain what happened down there. I don't think any of us do because we weren't there. So I'm not going to make any assumptions about what happened. If that man, Michael Brown, it's kind of interesting because, you know, the media, they try to manipulate you subtly in some ways. And he was 18 years old. So by that simple fact, in this country, he would be considered a man. Yet, it seemed like almost every news story I came across, they called him a boy. And I just thought that was interesting. You know, you get that subtle manipulation there. And like I said, I don't know what happened. I don't make any assumptions about what happened. I do know that we are to live peaceably and that even if you're angry about something, you shouldn't be rioting in the streets and burning down buildings. And there are people doing that very thing. They need Jesus is what they need. And, you know, if Michael Brown was shot in malice, then Darren Wilson will answer to that someday. In fact, we're going to see right here in these verses that it tells us that very thing. Verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He'll take care of it. He is a righteous God. And he sees everything. He knows exactly what happened. And he has the answer. There are things that we don't know that we can't comprehend because we are mere mortal men. And we shouldn't act like we know things when we don't. So as I said, if Michael Brown was shot in malice, then that officer will answer for that when he stands before the Lord. There's no need to riot. There's no need to have those protests. God will take care of it. We are to live peaceably with all men. That's what this chapter is telling us right here. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, we shouldn't be so driven by spirits that we are running in the streets, causing all kinds of mayhem and destruction. We shouldn't let evil overcome us, but we need to overcome that evil with good, a goodness that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 13, let's continue on. We'll do chapter 13 also because I believe it applies also to our day. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, we need to understand something when we read these verses. The Bible tells us that we are to obey God rather than men. So, if there are ever commands or decrees made in this country or anywhere else in the world that instruct us to disobey the Lord, then we need to disregard those and continue to obey the Lord. If a law comes out that we're not supposed to pray anymore, we're still going to pray. If a law comes out that we're not supposed to read scriptures anymore, we're still going to read scriptures. If a law comes out that we're not supposed to go out and preach anymore, we're still going to go out and preach. Because the Bible tells us to do those things. But, as for other laws, you know, there are laws out there that may not seem fair. I know a lot of people talk about the IRS and the federal income tax system, and they talk about how unfair it is. And you know what? You're right. It's absolutely unfair. But, you know, Jesus is our example, and at one point, he was asked if he paid tribute, and actually I believe it was Peter who was asked if Jesus paid tribute, and Jesus shouldn't have had to pay tribute, but after being questioned, he did, and he sets our example. So even though a lot of those taxes and so forth are unfair, you know, we should still pay them because it is the law, and it's not a law that commands us to disobey the Lord. So we need to understand there's a difference here. And sometimes laws seem unfair. But, you know, another thing we need to keep in mind that if you disobey that law, chances are you're going to end up in prison. And it's kind of ironic when that happens, when you really stop and think about it. You don't pay your taxes, so they throw you in prison where your food and shelter is provided by tax dollars. It's kind of funny how that works, but, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, there's a pretty good chance you'll end up in prison for that. And it's, for most of us, I think we can see that that's not a war worth fighting. We're better off if we just live peaceably and pay those taxes, even though they are unfair. I believe they are unfair. I believe federal income taxes shouldn't even exist, but they do. So we pay them. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And like I said, when we obey those laws, we do so only if it's a law that does not contradict the word of God, only if it's a law that doesn't order us to do something that goes against the will of God. You know, someday they're probably going to decree, it may or may not be in our lifetime, they'll decree that we take a mark, and they'll cause all men to take that mark, and, you know, some people might read this and interpret that to mean, well, you have to go down there and take it. No, we don't take that mark. We don't take the mark of the beast, because those who do take it, they have no chance of salvation at that point. That's what the scriptures tell us if you read the book of Revelation. Those who have the mark of the beast, they're done for. So we need to make sure we don't take that mark. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs to be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For for this cause pay ye tribute also. Well, looking right there, the Apostle Paul tells us to pay tribute. I guess you could apply that to taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know, it's really quite sad down in Ferguson. In their anger and in their rage, they burn down a lot of businesses that belong to their neighbors. People who owned those businesses, they hadn't done anything to merit that, and yet their livelihoods were destroyed, their buildings were burned up, a lot of people lost their jobs, and you know, a lot of them were actually owned by black people, and you know, they have this racially fueled riot down there, and they're actually destroying the businesses of their neighbors. It's a horrible thing. We're supposed to love our neighbors. It tells us right here in Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, we need that armor of light from the Lord Jesus. That's how you withstand the darkness. That's how you cast off the works of darkness. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make thee provision for the flesh, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, we need to be a spiritually minded people, not give in to the flesh, not to make provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but we need to withstand those lusts. We need to withstand all of the evil. And, you know, as it says in verse 13, we need to not be rioting, and you shouldn't be drunk either. Praise the Lord. And I want to go now to Colossians chapter 3, which is also a very fitting chapter for what we're dealing with in our world today. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, what's he talking about there when he says, "For ye are dead"? It means we're dead to the old man, to our old works, to the flesh, to the lust of the flesh. We're dead to sin. And, you know, when we go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are buried with the Lord Jesus in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life, and the old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And when that happens, we are dead to our old life, to our sins. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about right here in his letter to the Colossians. But we need to make sure we set our affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. That's what we have above that matters. You know, a lot of us may never be rich in this world, but that's all right, because we have treasures in heaven. And that's far better than anything we could ever have in this world. Verse 5. I'll read verse 4 again. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." We need to put those things off. We need to make sure they have no part in our life. "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." See, those are the works of the old man, the old flesh, those sinful deeds. But we're different now. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." You know, there's a lot of prejudice in this world today, and there are a lot of black people out there who think all white people hate them, and there are a lot of white people out there who think that all black people are thugs and so forth. But you know what? In the kingdom of God, there is no prejudice. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, no circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, when we become Christians, we're adopted by the Lord Jesus. And that means when we're Christians, we're all brothers and sisters, because we're all in the same family, regardless of what our skin might look like, regardless of what our facial features might be, regardless of who our parents may have been. There's no prejudice in the kingdom of God, neither Greek nor Jew. And you can apply that to each and every race in this world. There's no prejudice there. It's not important what we have outside or what our flesh looks like. It's important what we have inside. That's what matters. Not what we look like. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." We need to understand the word bowels there, what that's referring to. It's feelings of pity or compassion. I know a lot of us, when we see the word bowels, we might think of something else, but that's what it's referring to there. Feelings of pity or compassion. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. My pages in this Bible get a little sticky sometimes, but hopefully I'll get it. There we go. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And that's a very important verse too. It tells us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We need to do that. We need to make sure we let that peace of God rule in our hearts. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if we seek the Prince of Peace. That's how we seek peace and pursue it, by seeking the Prince of Peace, by having the Prince of Peace living in our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you'll have peace reigning in your heart, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. We all need that. And you know, when you have the peace of God, it's a peace that passes all understanding. We look around at everything that's happening in the world, all the horrible things, and you know, it grieves our spirit when we see those bad things happening, but we also have peace in our hearts because we have God in our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We need to let that peace rule in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, if you want peace, and I think we all do, who wouldn't want peace? You must have the Prince of Peace living in your heart. The peace of God must rule in your hearts. I want to go to one last scripture, just one verse in closing. John chapter 14. And of course, we've gone to that chapter many, many times. I think most of you probably realize by now that it's one of my favorite chapters. It's such a crucial and wonderful chapter, but we're going to look at just one verse today. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, there are people out there who claim to have peace, but if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have true peace. For he is the source of true peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And we need that peace to reign in our hearts. There's so much anger and rage out in the world right now, but we need to let the peace of God reign in our hearts. We need to live peaceably amongst men if we can. We certainly need to strive for that, to work for that. Should be our goal. But I'm going to read this verse one more time. Verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So if you want peace, you need to get it from the Lord Jesus. You're not going to get it anywhere else. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for thy scriptures. We ask, O God, that these words would sink down deeply into our hearts, that they would change us for the better. We ask that thou wouldst continue to perfect us with thy word. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst help us and give us the wherewithal and the strength to live peaceably amongst men. We ask, O God, that thy peace, the only true peace in this world, the peace that thou givest that passeth all understanding, we ask for that peace. We ask that that peace would reign in our hearts today and every day going forward. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a chorus in closing, number 78, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me, he's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer. Thank you.
I bet you are. It's nice when they can come and visit, isn't it? They enjoy you so much. Yes, you do love them, and they love you. They have a dog, don't they? Do they bring the dog? Oh, so then you get to have a doggy to play with for the day. That's ever so special. Oh, yay. They didn't. Oh, good. Oh. Does he? Yes, that's true. Practice makes perfect, doesn't it?